What I am teaching you today is we call it the revelation of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. And it's very important to have ears that are hearing. Remember the story of Martha and Mary. When Jesus was teaching them, Martha was distracted by all the other things around her. She had to get the dishes ready, she had to do this, she had to do that. But Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better thing. I've noticed in Africa, often people get distracted by this and by that. Maybe their phone rings or something happens and they get distracted. There is a time to come aside and just hear the words of the Lord. And receive the revelation of Christ. Because this is the most important thing. Amen.
Amen.
So we are looking at the children of Israel. And how they left Egypt is how we leave this world. And then they go through the waters of the Red Sea like our baptism experience. They go through the waters of Mara. And what happened next after the waters of Mara? Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands. One on the one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Amen. Up till this moment in time, The Israelites had not had to fight any battles of their own. When Pharaoh let the people of Israel go, he did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, even though it was nearer. For God said they might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So up to this moment in time, the children of Israel had not had to fight in hand-to-hand combat. They had just had to watch God work for on their behalf. At the Red Sea, Moses said, "The Lord will fight for you whilst you keep silent." This is like a young believer who first comes to the faith. God will not let them experience hand-to-hand conflict straight away. God will fight their battles for them, because they are young in the faith. And God is looking out for them and protecting them. And they think, "Praise the Lord, this is great." But then suddenly comes the Amalekites. And the Amalekites don't attack from the front. In Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 and 18, God says, "Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you the stragglers at your rear. When you are faint and weary, he did not fear God." Who or what do the Amalekites represent? Who or what are going to give us our first taste of hand-to-hand combat as a believer? Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Esau was the brother of Jacob. Remember, God said, "Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." Esau represents your flesh and your fleshy nature. Remember, Esau was the one who despised his own birthright. For a pot of lentil soup. For a pot of lentil soup. Esau was a man of the flesh. When he was hungry, he had to eat now. Because he was a man driven by the lusts of his flesh. He was in slavery to the lusts of his flesh. To him, the thing, his prized birthright meant nothing. All that mattered was his flesh and what his flesh wanted. Amen. Do you know anyone like this today? "Give me my food now. I'm going to die, just give me my food now." A man who cannot wait, he must be have his flesh satisfied now. The Amalekites were descended from Esau. So the Amalekites represent the flesh and the fleshy nature. And I have the flesh and you have the flesh. And your flesh is the hardest, most deadly enemy you will ever come across in your Christian life. Most people think Satan and his demons are the most deadly enemy you will face. But Satan and his enemies are external forces. The fleshy nature is an internal enemy. Satan tries to attack you from outside. But your fleshy nature will attack you from within. Amen. That makes the flesh the most dangerous enemy you will ever come across. And you need to learn to know how to fight against the flesh by the power of the Spirit right at the beginning of your Christian walk. Amen. Our natural lusts and impulses are in open conflict against the Holy Spirit and the purposes of God for us. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Are they not from here your lusts that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Where does the source of the conflicts come from? The lusts of your flesh, which are waging war in your very body. Your flesh is a mortal enemy. And you need to learn how to fight against the lusts present in your flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are in opposition one to another, so that you may not do the things that you wish. Our flesh rages within us against the purposes of God for us. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit of God will fight a war against your flesh. They are both mortal enemies. They will not compromise. Either one will win or the other will win. There will be no peace treaty between the two. The Lord has sworn. The Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. The war will not cease until either one side is the complete victor or the other. There is no compromise between your flesh and the Holy Spirit. All the Amalekites know is domination and control. They have no diplomats or politicians in their ranks. All they know is what they want, and that's what they're going to get. And the Lord has commanded us to fight and face down the Amalekites and to destroy them to the last man. Because if you do not destroy Amalek fully, Amalek will come around the rear and will kill you from behind. You must blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You must not forget. We must fight against our flesh until we have put the flesh under. Amalek must be blotted out from under heaven. You must not forget. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 3, God commanded Saul, his first king, to carry out this severe sentence against the people of Amalek. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has. Do not spare him. Put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. The Amalekites must be blotted out from under heaven. God said, you must not forget. Saul did fight against the Amalekites. The Bible says he utterly destroyed all the people. And everything that was despised and worthless in his own eyes. But did he blot them out completely? No. He spared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep, the ox and the fatlings. All that was good in his own eyes. But what did God say? What did God say? Amalek must be blotted out from under heaven. You must not forget. These were God's last words on the matter. But Saul did forget. What happened to Saul because he forgot? He lost his kingship. He lost his position as king before God. And eventually he lost his own life also. Who remembers when Saul was killed? Who was he killed by?
I think
he died by himself.
He was on the mountains, Mount Gilboa. Yes. He was fighting against the Philistines initially. And the Philistine archers attacked him and overcame him. And he fell on his spear. He did not want to be captured alive by the Philistines. But the Bible says his life was still in him. And there was a young man there. Who was that young man? He was an Amalekite. And Saul said, strike me down because I cannot survive. So the Amalekite took his sword and struck Saul. And Saul was killed by an Amalekite. If you do not deal with the Amalekites, the Amalekites will come around the back. And they will kill you. The Lord says, you shall utterly blot out Amalek from under heaven. Amen. You must not forget. If we do not war against our flesh, our fleshy impulses, and defeat them by the power of the Spirit, our flesh will come around the back and will stab us in the back. Amen. When some people come to the faith, they hear that they need to deal with their flesh. But they only deal with those things which are despised and worthless in their own eyes. Maybe they were an alcoholic. And they come to Jesus and get delivered from the alcohol. Because everybody saw them as an alcoholic, it made them look good, look bad. So they managed to deal with the alcoholism. But they never dealt with the secret lusts in their hearts and their minds. Because they like to indulge this side of us, fleshy nature. They think it's secret, no one sees, I won't be embarrassed. So we keep alive the things which are considered good in our own eyes. Maybe a man is in an adulterous relationship with another man's wife. And he knows it's wrong. But he justifies to himself, well, it feels so good. It feels so right. I'll just hide it. That's keeping Amalekites alive. And if you let the Amalekites live, that thing will come around behind you and strike you down. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells in my flesh, in my sinful nature. Amen. Amalek must be put to death and blotted out. Amen. We see the same principle in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, a man rose up who became the enemy of the Jews. Does anybody remember his name? Haman. He was called Haman the Agite. Because he was descended from King Agag. King Agag was the king of the Amalekites. Haman was an Amalekite. All the Amalekites know is to destroy and dominate completely. So when Mordecai the Jew did not give him the honor he desired, did he lay hands on Mordecai? That was not enough for him. Did he lay hands upon Mordecai's family? That was too small for him. He thought it too small a thing. He wanted to kill all of his people. Because all the Amalekites know is how to have total domination. And your flesh will not rest until it either has total domination or it has been defeated. Amen. It's all or nothing with the Amalekites. And it's all or nothing with your sinful nature. By the grace of God, Haman was killed. Amen. You have to kill the Amalekites. But did Haman have a family? How many sons did he have? 10. Haman had 10 sons. If you let the Amalekites live, the Amalekites will come and attack you from behind. As long as Haman's 10 sons lived, the Jews would never be safe. So what had to happen to Haman's 10 sons? All killed. They didn't kill 8 or 9 of them and leave one because they looked nice. Oh, he's a young boy. He's got pretty eyes. God said, Amalek must be blotted out from under heaven. You must not forget. You need to defeat the flesh and have a measure of victory over your flesh so that your flesh does not come around the back and stick the knife in from behind. Amen. This is something you need to learn early in your Christian walk. There are too many Christians who are living enslaved lives, defeated lives. Always falling in their flesh. Because they have never learned to fight against their flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 14. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. If you don't put Amalek to death, Amalek will kill you. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? The Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. If you are being led by the Spirit, God will bring you to a place where you are in conflict with your fleshy lusts. And what you do at that moment will determine whether you continue walking in the journey of the Exodus or if you fall by the hand of the Amalekites. They will involve a warfare in your heart. And the flesh will contest every inch of soil in your heart. But we must prevail against the flesh. We must defeat the Amalekites and blot them out. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Do you know that God has called you into a fight? It's not a fight against the Muslims or against your neighbor. It's a fight against your flesh. And he will either kill you or you will kill it. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That means I have defeated the Amalekites. I continued in my journey and I made it to the promised land. Amen. The Bible says the Amalekites attacked among you the stragglers at your rear. The Amalekites do not wait to attack you from the front. Your flesh will not be attacking you as you sit in this conference. When you're at the prayer meeting, when you're on your knees at home seeking the Lord, your flesh will attack you when you are faint, weary from the journey. You let your guard down. Relax. All of a sudden in your mind will fill with all sorts of fleshy thoughts. Where did that thought come from? I didn't think that when I was in the conference. But now that I am relaxing, my mind starts thinking of all sorts of crazy thoughts. Because the Amalekites didn't strike from the front, they struck from behind. And to the young believer, they may well fall into sin. When the Amalekites first attacked, they scored something of a victory against the children of Israel. And when a young believer first falls in sin, Satan will be right there, ready to condemn them, saying, how can you possibly call yourself a believer? You stood in front of the whole church and got baptized. You said you were turning your back on your old life. But look at you now. Look what you've just done. And the choice is right there. Do I come under this condemnation? Or do I get on my knees and repent of my sin? And continue in the battle against Amalek. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes in the battle, the Amalekites were winning. And sometimes the children of Israel were winning. There will be times in our Christian walk when it seems our battle with the flesh goes one way and then another. Sometimes we have a measure of victory. And we praise God, I've overcome this area of sin. But then in other times, maybe our flesh prevails and we fall into sin and condemnation. What was it that caused Israel to prevail in the battle? So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand rest, Amalek prevailed, but Moses' hands were heavy. Aaron and Hur came and supported him on one side and the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people. Why did Israel win when Moses' hands were raised up? What was the significance of raising his hands? Okay. In some ways, there is truth in what you're saying. When we are called to raise our hands up to heaven to pray to God, and when we spend time in prayer before God, we become strong in the faith, and the battle is turned against the enemy. But there's something more than that also. What did Moses have in his hands? Amen. Tomorrow I will station myself on the hill on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. When Moses raised up his hands, what was he raising? As a banner over the people. The staff of God. The staff of God. The wooden staff of God. The Lord is my banner. Why was it so important that the staff of God be raised up as a banner over the peoples? Moses did not hold up a sword. A sword for Joshua and for Israel. He didn't hold up a sword, he didn't hold up a spear. He didn't hold up the Jewish flag of the Jewish nation. But he held up the staff of God as a banner, as an ensign, a standard over the people of Israel. What does the staff of God represent? The wooden staff of God. It represents the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. When Moses lifted up the staff, in one sense it was like he was lifting up hands to heaven and praying to God. And we become strong when our prayer life is strong. But more than that, he was holding up the staff of God as a banner over the peoples. As leaders in the church today, we need to lift up the cross of Jesus Christ as a banner over the peoples, our congregations. Because when the cross of Jesus Christ is central to our preaching and our ministry, and our people learn the way of the cross, we will defeat the enemy. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Where is the power of God? Is it in a man shouting loudly and making lots of bold proclamations from the front of church? No. The power of God is released through the cross of Jesus Christ. And when a believer learns to take up his own cross and follow Jesus, he will experience victory over the enemy and victory over his flesh, and he will defeat the Amalekites. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23-24, Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will find it." Amen.
Amen.
Have you learned how to take up the cross of Jesus Christ? Is the staff of God raised up as a banner over your life? Taking up the cross daily, is that decision we make to deny ourselves and our desires and instead put God first or other people before ourselves. My flesh may say, "I want that thing." But to take up the cross is to restrain yourselves from the things you desire and instead look to be a blessing to others around you. This is raising the cross of Jesus Christ as a banner. When you do that in the name of Christ, you will find you will have a measure of victory over your flesh. Amen. The Bible says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh with regard to his lusts." Don't allow the devil a foothold. Do not allow your flesh to prevail against you. Don't relax in your battle against the flesh. But learn to live a disciplined Christian life. And as you do so, The voice of your flesh will become less and less loud. When you initially come to the faith, the voice of your flesh is very loud. And he's shouting, "Give me, give me, give me." And say, "Whoa." But when you learn to put that flesh down,
he
says, "Give me, give me, give me." And gradually over time, the voice of your flesh starts to be drowned out. And instead of hearing the voice of the flesh, we start to hear clearly the voice of the Spirit saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Amen. The whole Christian journey is about being conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says about Jesus, He loved righteousness and hated wickedness. When you first come to Christ, you tend to love wickedness because you're used to giving your flesh what it wants. But God wants to make you into a new creation, which you actually love righteousness. And the old things you used to hate, you used to love, you now start to hate. And your whole desires change because you are a new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new.
Amen.
But Moses' hands were heavy. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands on either side. As a Christian leader in the Church of Christ, to hold up the cross of Jesus Christ as a standard over your congregation takes effort. And sometimes you see people leaving the congregation and going to the church down the road where they preach blessings and prosperities. And sometimes the hands of the preacher become heavy. Gets discouraged in his ministry. I'm trying to be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. But the more I am faithful, the more people leave and go to the other church. Our hands start to get heavy. What do we need? We need an Aaron and a Hur to come alongside us, to hold up our hands, to sustain us in the journey. If Aaron and Hur had not been there that day, would Israel have defeated the Amalekites? No. Sometimes people say, "Lord, use me in the ministry." And they think, "I want to be in the pulpit, I want to be preaching to everybody else." But maybe God has not called you to be in the pulpit. There are more Aaron and Hurs than there are Moses type figures. But if Aaron and Hur are just wanting to do the Moses type job, they will miss their true calling. They are in danger of missing their true calling. Missing out what God has created them to do. There are more Aaron and Moses, Aaron and Hurs in the body of Christ than Moses figures. We need more people to support the arms of the minister. The true minister of God I'm talking about. Than actual ministers. Amen. One of the works that God expects us to do is keep the cross of Jesus Christ raised as a banner over our nation, over our people. People say, what is my ministry, what is my calling? People ask, well, what is my ministry, what is my calling? Maybe you are called to support the arms of someone else. And if you are faithful in doing that, even though you don't get the recognition of men, you will get the recognition of God. We need to find our calling and fulfill it. All Aaron and Hur did was support the arms of Moses. It doesn't look like anything very spiritual. Yet often the most practical things we do are the most spiritual. Sometimes it's putting the chairs out in the church. Greeting people at the door. Helping clean up afterwards. That is the real spiritual work. Amen.
Amen.
Many people today desire the pulpit. But unless you're willing to put the chairs out, unless you're willing to clean the toilets, you're not qualified to share the pulpit of God. Amen. And God will take you through a testing period. Sometimes someone might put a brush in your hand and say, go clean the toilet. I'm not going to do that. I'm a minister of God. Come on. You do it. I will delegate my responsibility. Because I am the leader of God in the house. One time at a conference, I was sitting there watching some of the pastors. And one person was sitting in their armchair. And someone came to, actually it was a woman. Someone came to serve her their food. They kneel before her to bring the food. And the woman didn't even look. Didn't even speak. Just expected, give me my food. Go away. Is that the sort of leadership we're supposed to exemplify to our people? I thought, who put this woman as a leader in the church? She doesn't even know how to serve. She won't even acknowledge the person who is serving her. Let alone taking the food herself and serving someone else. Jesus calls us to be the serving leadership. He who wishes to be first must be the servant of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. If you are not willing to serve in the body of Christ, you are not qualified to be a leader in the pulpit. Amen. And too many people want to be Moses when they are called to be Aaron and Hur. Amen. It's a test of your faith. A test of your leadership. The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and place it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. God has commanded these things in his word as a memorial, something to be remembered. The Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Who is on the Lord's side? Are you on the Lord's side? If you want to be on the Lord's side, you better strap your sword to your side. And go out and put your flesh to death by the sword of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God is looking to dwell amongst a people who love to live in righteousness and who are holy as he is holy. Let us utterly blot out Amalek from under heaven. Let us not forget. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the lesson of the Amalekites. Sovereign Lord, help us to take a hold of this lesson. The next time our flesh seeks to rise against us and put us to death, may we turn and face it and put it down by the power of the Spirit. Help us to defeat the Amalekites. In your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.